San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. We are heard free on iTunes, and if you stream live on 760KFMB.com, you can hear us there, and also all the podcasts are at iymoney.com. Now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a best-selling author. He's an accomplished long-distance runner, and he's in a family office expert advising high-net-worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I am marvelous, Joe. Good to be here.
Hey, you had quite a week. Now, last week you had the night off. Tell us a little bit about what went on at Salk Institute.
Oh, Robert Redford was in town, and he was showing a preview of a 26-minute piece he did that's going to be part of a larger film called Cathedrals of Culture. So he did a 26-minute piece on the soul of buildings, specifically the soul of the Salk Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And really neat piece because three research scientists were featured talking about how it is to work there and how that most, you know, that amazing architecture that was developed by Louis Kahn and, of course, Jonas Salk. Fits into the creativity that's involved in doing scientific research and, of course, where it's situated, just so physically beautiful on the bluffs overlooking the beach there in La Jolla. So he previewed this thing for a rather small group. I don't know how I got in, but it was really neat. But of all the funny things, who should show up? Cameo appearance by Al Gore. So I'm sitting there with Robert Redford and Al Gore.
Trying to horn in on everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Did he say anything, by the way, or no?
Al Gore didn't say anything about the movie, but Robert Redford spoke about, you know, what was behind this movie.
Yeah.
And the basic premise is that there's very few buildings in the world that actually have a soul, that actually speak to people about things that are meaningful. And the Salk certainly has done that, not only with its amazing architecture, but the amazing research and things that have come out of there.
Of course, the main thing is to help inspire some imagination and discover some new things, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Good.
So it was a fun evening, and the food was really good, too.
You don't want them drifting off looking at the waves. I mean, come on, get some solutions going.
Exactly. Pamplemousse brought some food over, so that was really good.
Anyway, well, while you were over there, I had a great time with the CEO and the chairman of the Board of Trustees of the Maritime Museum. That was an interesting show. And by the way, speaking of interesting shows, later this month, next week, we're interviewing Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, who was the right-hand man to General Colin Powell. We'll see what he has to say. Always controversial and bright, but quite an interesting background.
I can't wait. And so, speaking of biotech, let's talk about beer.
Well, that's why we played Cheers coming back. We've got a... They kind of go together, I think.
They sort of do.
But anyway, we are honored to have in studio with us the CEO and founder of Fat Cat Beer Company, and his name is Bruce Taub. So, Bruce, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, John.
Our pleasure. So tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're from Memphis originally and had a few careers, colorful background in history. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
That's a difficult topic. Yeah, as you mentioned, we moved here from Memphis, Tennessee back in 2004. I'm not actually really from Memphis, but I lived there a great deal of my life, so I consider myself hailing from there. I am a lawyer by profession, a tax lawyer, actually, and had the fortune of working for a great firm and getting involved in a variety of different business concepts, municipal finance, et cetera, and got to represent a lot of baseball players, which was fun for me.
All in Memphis you were doing this?
Or? No, this was actually in Baltimore. I was a graduate of the Georgetown University Law Center.
Ah, there we go.
Law program, taxation program, actually, mm-hmm. and was hired by a Baltimore firm, the senior partner of which represented a lot of the Baltimore Orioles during arguably their heyday, and it was a lot of fun for me to be part of that.
The Earl Weaver era, right?
Actually, I think at that time the manager was Cal Ripken Sr.
Yeah, Ripken came in after Earl Weaver.
This guy is the most amazing fact finder. You don't need to Google anything when you're around.
Palmer McNally, that was Earl Weaver back in those days, right? With Brooks Robinson and all, right?
Absolutely. Yes, it was. So from there, I went into the real estate business with a client that just had to have me as part of their team, and ultimately that took me to Memphis, where I worked for Storage USA, which was a national self-storage business, and ran acquisitions for them and ran their franchise company for a couple of years. And then when that company was sold, it gave me an opportunity to come back to San Diego, where I had attended Cal Western School of Law and always wanted to come back here. Got married and moved here. My wife came shortly after, and we live in La Jolla, California now. So I got involved in the private equity world, and through a variety of different investments, ultimately got into the craft beer business. And that's a really long story, best told over a beer.
Well, we got some sitting here, so get going.
It's a good thing I brought some. I come bearing gifts.
Yeah. Can you give us a Reader's Digest version? I mean, how did you always have a passion in the back of your mind for beer, or did you just stumble into it?
Both. So ultimately, the Fat Cat Beer Company didn't exist, but a beer called Fat Cat Lager Beer did. And it was the original craft beer in a can back in 1995. Many others claim to have been the first craft beer in a can, but actually this is...
And where was that made?
It was made in Minnesota or Wisconsin or somewhere. I don't remember exactly where it was made. I wasn't around back then. But so we got involved, and I'll spare you all the gory details, but we got involved and things went a little sideways with a different beer business that owned this brand. And I tell people, because it's more colorful, but it's not entirely far from the truth, that I won this beer brand in a high-stakes Fat Cat Texas Hold'em game. Yeah, I had aces. He didn't. So,
wow.
So when we took over the business, the first thing we did was...
What year was that, by the way?
2012.
Okay.
By the time we got through all the legalities and the licensing and whatnot, we were prepared to launch the business on January 1st, 2013. At that time, the Fat Cat Lager Beer was the only real beer SKU that the company had. And I knew that in order to be a company that could build its footprint around the country, if that was something we were lucky enough to do, we would need to attract a distribution base, and those distributors would not be all that keen on bringing the brand in that they'd never heard of unless they could, there were four or five or more different beer styles, and they could spread their freight costs over multiple beer styles versus just one. And that's a very specific concept called laden cost, and it's certainly something we could talk about, but it's probably boring for your listeners, so I won't get into it in much detail. But ultimately, we knew that we needed to come up with some other beer styles, so we immediately engaged our brewmaster into making a wheat beer, a Belgian wheat-style beer, a wit is they're called because it's a white beer. And so we came out with our Sultans of Wheat, Belgian-style wheat beer with some coriander and orange peel, cloudy by design, as most Belgian wheat beers are. And we modeled it as a Belgian because Blue Moon, which is the number one selling wheat beer in America, but not a craft beer because it's owned by a much larger entity. Right. Most people don't know that. We call that crafty beer. But ultimately, wanted to model after that because it's Americans really like that beer style. So that was the origin of Fat Cat Sultans of Wheat.
So you essentially took over the Green Flash brewery in Vista, is that it?
We didn't take it over.
Or use them to brew?
We don't own a brewery, and that's by design. Based on our research, there's a lot of manufacturing brewing capacity in the country. So we found what we thought were the best brewers, and we have our own brewmaster who creates what we call a statement of process, which is a fancy phrase for recipe. We knew we wanted to make a San Diego brewing debut because we live here. We want to make sure that we're considered as much a part of the San Diego beer fabric as anyone. And we were really fortunate to meet and befriend the folks at Latitude 33 Brewing Company. They bought the old Green Flash Brewing facility in Vista, and we just brewed our first beer with them under a program that we call the Fat Cat Limited Release Series Program, which enables us to delve into some keg-style beer only. All of our other beers in a can, and there's a reason for that. But so we brewed Broschenography Pills as our first offer through the limited release series program, and we are on fire with it. We're very pleased. The program,
but we have to take a break right there, Bruce, because we got to. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but no, we'll come right back with more of It's Your Money in Your Life right after these announcements. Hang on. I'm sorry. All right, we're back in the home stretch with Bruce Taub of Fat Cat Beer Company. Just started up in 2012, and welcome back, Bruce.
Thank you, Jim.
It's a pretty amazing story. I mean, there's about 84 breweries in San Diego, and we just learned that Sam Adams doesn't brew their own beer. So how does a beer company not brew its own beer? I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Well, there's a lot of brewing capacity throughout this country, and while I think Samuel Adams does brew a fair amount of their own beer, they don't brew all their own beer, and they didn't when they first started. But there's a lot of capacity, and so we have our own brewmaster. We tell him what sort of beer we want to make. He comes up with the statement of process. We'll show that to the brewery where we want to brew the beer, and then they just review it, make sure they have access to all the ingredients. We'll tell them where to buy the ingredients. In many instances, we buy the ingredients and have them shipped there. And then the SOP literally walks them through everything from how many pounds of a particular ingredient goes in the beer, at what temperature the boil needs to be when you add the ingredients and for how long, at what temperature to cool the beer down to, how to ultimately ferment it, et cetera, et cetera. So it really has our fingerprints all over it, and that's what makes it our beer. It's equivalent to inviting your favorite chef to come to your home and make your favorite meal. Uh-huh. I guarantee you, you're going to like the way they make it better than the way you make it.
I can guarantee that, too.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that the breweries where we brew our beer don't make great beer. They do, and Latitude 33 is certainly one.
Maybe give us a quick rundown of all the beers you do make, maybe the brand. You have some funny names for them, and then where can people in San Diego get them?
Great, thank you. So we have 6 beer styles right now. We hope to get that to 10. Currently, our everyday core SKUs are 5 different beer styles. The first is called Shawshanks and Junction.
And that,
use your imagination. We follow that up with our Sultans of Wheat. And then we wanted to make a brown ale that competed.
Sultans of Wheat as of like Sultans of SWAT with baseball?
Or Sultans of SWAT, or maybe even, you know, we are the Sultans of Swing.
Sultans of Swing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Dire Straits.
All right.
Now we
can play that song going out.
You could. That'd be great. I might get up and
dance. Well, we can't because we already have our set music. Okay. So
we blind taste Sultans of Wheat against Blue Moon and Shock Top and bars all over San Diego, all over where we sell beer, by the way. And it's our can version versus their keg. And we've never lost to Blue Moon. We lost to Shock Top one time.
So we got Shawshank, we've got Sultans of Wheat.
Then we have Bill Street Brown Ale. If you look at the package, we put a guitar on the can. Bill Street is to music what San Diego is to craft beer. So it's a great traditional English style brown ale. All of our beers are very sessionable, which means they're moderate range alcohol by volume. You want to have a couple of beers while you're watching a game. You're not impacted the way you are if you drink a really strong IPA or a Belgian that's got 9% alcohol by volume in it. You know, that's bedtime after you drink something like that. So
your range is what? More like in the 5?
4.9 to 6.0. Our IPA is 6.0%. Then we have the original Fat Cat Lager beer that's been in the can since 1995. You already heard me talk a bit about that. And then we taste it all over the various markets where we sell our beer, festivals and bars, et cetera, would say, wow, you guys make great beer. We really love it. I could drink this all day. It's so smooth. But, geez, I really like to have an IPA from time to time. He said, yeah, y'all make one of those. And we said, well, we don't, but we will. So we came out with Confession IPA.
Confession, I love
Confession
that.
Confession IPA. And that was really
coming to a church near you soon, right?
Well, actually, if you look at the can, Joe, you see a cat, that little cat at the top there.
We
don't want to upset any PETA folks, but ultimately,
no cats were harmed in the making of this radio show.
Does he have some kind of papal hat on or something there? What is
more like a hangman's noose? The implication being there, and the slogan we wanted to use in the can, but the federal government wouldn't let us, was drink 2 of these and y'all might snitch.
Well, the FBI might like those.
So. Yeah, right. But, maybe.
Oceanography. So, Joe, here's the story. So I live on Neptune in Leucadia, which is a really cool surf spot, uh-huh. and a lot of my neighbors drink a lot of beer. So Oceanography, you're partnering now with Surfrider Foundation, right?
That's right. So Oceanography is a Wikipedia made-up term to define people who devote their lives towards studying weather patterns, tides, and shorelines to determine where the surf is up at any particular time.
I do that every day.
There you go.
So, I mean, Oceanography is an actual term.
It's made up.
Oh, it's like it's like the surf community finding out where the waves are.
Correct.
Okay. Right. We schedule our entire business schedule around when the surf is good, Joe.
So, okay.
You know, it's great work if you can get it.
Yeah.
So ultimately...
Craig Blanky needs to hear this.
So the Limited Release Series program is a program where we thematically name a beer and then select a worthy nonprofit or charity that ties into that theme, and we donate a portion of our initial launch proceeds to them. And this time, given the Oceanography theme, we contacted the Surfrider folks, the San Diego chapter of Surfrider, and they were ecstatic about it. We threw a launch party. They came, and we gave them a big check for $1,000.
Good.
And they were
great
pleased.
Cause.
It is a great cause.
Great
they,
cause.
They clean the oceans. They battle. They're the San Diego chapter is the number one activist organization, and it was our pleasure to be part of that. So.
Well, beer. How about anything with ocean research at all? Maybe we need to do something with Scripps Oceanography as well.
Well, if you can make that happen, Joe, we'll be there. So.
We'll talk. We've had a couple of them.
So,
on the
so
show.
Bruce, is one of your big business challenges distribution?
It is so. We sell beer in Florida, Georgia, Virginia, and we just were brought in by a D.C. distributor, and we sell beer in San Diego. The distribution rules throughout the country in most parts really favor the distributor. They get to bring your brand in. The franchise rules that apply to those states mean they own the brand. Some of them don't even bother selling it. They just don't want anybody else to pick
right.
up the brand.
Just cut out the competition.
Exactly.
They beat you pretty bad. Or I know you mentioned a colleague who had some trouble back east or in the Midwest with distributors back there.
Well, he wouldn't, and we wouldn't be alone in that regard. I don't know that they beat us up. I mean, I think they just really require you to do all of the brand building. They want you to spend all of the time, all the money, get the orders, give them the orders, and then they will gloriously deliver it in their trucks. You know, so in San Diego... California is one of the probably forward thinkers in that regard. They will actually allow a supplier of its own beer to self-distribute. So we interviewed a few distributors, and they were basically of the opinion that we need to make $7 or $8 a case for these beers or we wouldn't be interested in bringing it in. Well, I looked at those numbers, and being a tax and business guy first and a beer guy second, I felt like we could ultimately control our own distribution network, build our own distribution footprint, manage it ourselves. We'd have to hire our own people, which we were going to do anyway, and a truck and a little warehouse, and off we went. So case one, account one, we were out sell beer to well over 350 accounts, and the Oceanography beer is on fire. I couldn't be prouder or more pleased with how the beer's been received here in San Diego.
And where are some of the your more favorite places to get Fat Cat beer in San Diego?
Well, the first thing you could do is you can go to our website, fatcatbeers.com, and you can go to our beer locator page. By the way, you better make sure you click that you're 21 or over, because if you don't and you click the other button under 21, we send you to the Disneyland website.
The happiest place on earth.
Well, yeah. We're not trying to market to an underage drinking crowd.
Right.
We try our best not to do that. Very, very best.
So if you go to fatcatbeersplural.com, there's a list there of all your locations.
There's a beer locator page. You type in your zip code, and it will give you literally the places closest to you up to 100. But
There's always some at Beacons late afternoon on Neptune, trust me.
So you say it's like 350 sources in San Diego, approximately?
Yeah, pretty much on and off premise. And that would include, you know, Albertsons, Whole Foods.
That's an amazing story. In 2 years to accomplish that, I mean, you ought to be pretty proud of yourself.
I am, and I appreciate you saying that. But we actually didn't launch the San Diego Distribution Company until August of last year. So been able to accomplish that in less than a year.
Wow. Now, do you use the yeast from White Labs that everyone else seems to use? Because that's another UCSD success story. Or do you, or don't you want to divulge?
I have a really close friend who lives in St. Pete who keeps telling me we need to buy yeast from him, but I let the brewmaster decide. It's his bailiwick. Why step on his
toes? Anyway, Bruce, we've got to wrap it right there. Thanks so much for being our guest. Bruce Taub, Fat Cat Beer Company. Check it out, folks. And then thanks to Tom Gephardt with Ventana Capital, our first guest tonight. Colonel Tom Wilkers, Lawrence Wilkerson next week. And Richard, thank you. Have a great week. And thanks to Eric Rubalcava, our sound engineer, for making us sound good. And also to Craig Blank, your con executive and our programming genius here. Dave Sniff at KFNB. You have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week. Get all the podcasts on iymoney.com. Good night now.